This is Carmen's story. Sometimes, late at night, especially when the rain would tap out its rhythmic patterns on the window pane, Carmen would allow her mind to stray back to earlier times. Days of summer warmth where in the fields of their small farm she would help her mother and father. Days spent with a harvest, collecting fruit from the orchard floor, surrounded by laughter as the smell of wood smoke brought a warm feeling of coziness to the air. Around them constantly were their three dogs frolicking, cuddling. These were glory days. But as the rain became heavier and the rattling on the windows increased, Carmen was drawn back to that night. She still recalled the sounds which came up to her bedroom from the rooms below, the wails of anguish, the tears, and then the footsteps on the stairs. Oh, how she remembered those footsteps. A neighbour sat beside her on the bed, mother and father in their old cart, curtains of rain, a big truck, no hope. The funeral was as if in a mist, all gone, all. Tomorrow looked chilled and empty. The dogs had to go, of course, all was gone. Carmen's grandfather lived on the far side of the valley. She'd visited him sometimes, but he was an angry man and had treated her dogs badly, so her visits to him were seldom. But now she would live with him and help him with his farm. From early morning until a final glow of sunlight, they would work in the fields. But there was silence, no laughter, no dogs jumping around with undisguised abandon, no cuddles. Grandfather's world was full of anger and aggression. The whole world had changed for her. The news came up from the farms across the valley. Poachers were taking chickens from the fields under cover of night. "We need to get a dog," said Grandfather. "He'll protect the farm, and anyway," almost absent-mindedly grunted, "you like dogs." Next day, he returned from the village with a giant of a dog. He looked like a wolf, dark all over except for his head. He had a white streak which went from the top of his head down to his nose. He was calm and friendly. Grandfather dragged him on a chain to a makeshift shelter he created, and tying him on a 2-meter chain, threw him some leftover pieces of dinner we had earlier, and strode back to the house. Carmen sat in front of the dog on the grass, just slightly damp from the earlier rain. The dog lay down with his head resting on his front paws. They stayed this way for some time, their eyes engaging with the other and making a mutual silent journey of exploration. Carmen had woken early the next morning to the horrific sounds from outside, the beating and the wail of pain. Some chickens had gone and the dog had been silent and not alerted the house. Grandfather was burning with anger. He beat the dog again and again and again before storming off back to his house, muttering under his breath, "Useless, utterly useless." Each day, Grandfather would seek aggression from the dog. He would challenge by kicking, by beating. But unlike himself, he couldn't extract anger from the dog. The snows came early that year, deep and heavy, and Carmen was tasked to each day feed the dog. Often they would simply sit quietly and look at each other, and sometimes try to take away the sadness from his eyes. She would gently run her hands over the top of his head, across the place where the hair formed the white streak. During that winter they became firm friends, each other's only friend. As they sat together looking into each other's eyes, they knew how the other felt. Animal and child had found a commonality of experience and feeling. Carmen once again felt that life was good. As the buds opened on the trees and the shoots of the flowers pushed from the winter ground, birdsong from the trees heralded the advent of spring. Yawning, Carmen, half asleep, strolled down the stairs and, gathering a few pieces of food, wandered out into the garden to feed her friend. But the hut was empty, and his piece of chain lay on the ground, but he was not there. Horrified, Carmen ran across the fields to find Grandfather. Breathless, she cried, "He's gone! He's gone! Where is he?" Grandfather, barely glancing up from his work, simply mumbled, "Useless. He was useless. I tried, but I couldn't make him aggressive. He was useless to us."
But where is he? Please tell me.
Gone. I took him across the old bridge to the deep part of the forest. If he can't find any aggression, wolves will have him. Carmen's cries of anguish can be heard far across the valley. The months passed, and Carmen accepted her life as one of emptiness, devoid of emotion. Word came from across the valley of a new wolf, a mighty animal who now led the wolf population. But such rumors were dismissed as fairy tales until the winter snows were melting fast as the advent of spring, and the river was swollen beyond anything any of the village had ever seen before. A torrent of water crashing down through the valley was frighteningly spectacular. And so it was that fate would decree it would be Grandfather, who, taking his old cart to market, crossed over the old wooden bridge which breached the river. So assuredly as those who control the hands of fate and time, as the cart crossed the bridge, the torrent swept away the supports and the bridge plummeted into the meltwater. Grandfather was hurled into the foaming torrent. The truth of the tale that is told can only be decided by the listener. That Grandfather was found unconscious, but a safe distance away from the murderous torrent is certainly true. But how he got there may be debated in the village for many years. But he was safe. Two people who witnessed this talk of Grandfather being hopelessly carried downstream by the raging waters, only to have temporary respite whilst caught on a log. Then strode forth a giant amongst animals, who then dragged Grandfather to the safety of dry land. Both who witnessed this from different sides of the river testified to the same thing. It looked like a wolf, except it had a white streak from the top of its head down to its nose. It is said that Grandfather never smiled again after that day, but could often be seen walking in the deep forest with tears cascading down his face.